Hey everyone. God, I'm actually getting on this again this week. And fuck, there's a lot of tabs up here. I'm taking these headphones off. Record monitoring, it doesn't work as well as I thought it would. God, I have so many things up this time. I wasn't even specifically looking for things. I tried to get on and do a episode a week, not lag behind like I did last time. I swear I've got more tabs up than I did last week, and I didn't do an episode for like 3 weeks. So let's just get straight into it. Here's one fresh off the presses from the New Daily. JobKeeper recipient had work, but was told to sign away to sign anyway in job plan rot. So this is all about the, you know, there's the JobKeeper payments going on at the moment, which are meant to be for people who already have work to keep them in work. But what's happening is some of these employment places that have been managing JobKeeper and JobSeeker are forcing people onto JobSeeker to help their own books, making them go to interviews if they want to keep receiving payments and then still collecting their commission from the government. So, as it says here, the New Daily has confirmed Mick Dempster, 65, was put on what's known as a job plan, even though he remains employed and receives $1,500 a fortnight whilst his shifts are on hold during the pandemic. Signing Mr. Dempster onto the plan would have enabled the job provider to claim a $269.50 administrative fee from the government. So that's what's going on here. And if we follow the highlights, that agents are generally given a deadline and set KPIs on the number of people they need to sign up to job plans and assist to find work. All's well and good in normal times, perhaps, but try finding work for people in the middle of a global crisis when unemployment is skyrocketing and the amount of available work plummets. Of course, this also stems from, this article gives a nice history of what happened with job agents, that in 1997, the government used to handle the task of connecting job seekers with employment services. That then got privatized, and companies were paid incentives from the government to manage the work of welfare recipients. So what it means is that you've got a bunch of private companies out there where their job is to find other people jobs. And now we have a situation where there's a lot of candidates and not a lot of jobs going. And they're trying to do whatever they can to keep their commissions. This article even mentions how that sometimes it's in the interest of these job agencies to keep people on JobSeeker so that they can stay on their books and these agencies can collect a fee from the government because they still haven't been able to find them work. If you place everyone on your books with jobs, you then have no one to bill the government for doing work on behalf of, and you make no money. Moving on, because fuck, I got a lot of shit here. Here's one from the BBC. You've probably seen some form of this going around. It's been quite a popular story. It's about the Bolivian orchestra stranded in a German castle. And this, everyone's saying, oh, someone's got to make a movie of this. It sounds like a Suspiria, but with an orchestra. Pretty much happened is there's a Bolivian orchestra who were traveling through Germany, and their bus broke down, and they were forced into a, like, 600-year-old castle to go into quarantine. And it says here that as soon as the rehearsal finishes, they are all too aware of how their life has changed. Because they're not rehearsing back home in La Paz, Bolivia, but in the shadow of a German castle where they've been stranded for 73 days. The initial article that I saw also mentioned that apparently the place is surrounded by wolves, but otherwise there just seems to be some general racism from the surrounding village, and that the orchestra is just trying to fill in the time by doing a shit ton of rehearsals. It seems like quite an interesting article, which I will read in depth probably never, but you know, this one goes into the read later list. And it's just quite interesting. It's an interesting premise in that we have people looking to go into quarantine. They just end up at this castle and they're forced in there for a good while. Next piece that I've got here, you will probably want to jump on this one quick because I don't know how long it'll last. This is from Ozbargain. It's pretty much how to get MUBI free for 12 months, because quick plug for the newsletter that I put in my referral link for anyone who's interested in signing up to Mubi. I do, they're not so much reviews, but long, rambling stream of consciousness features is what they turn into on movies that I've watched on there and my initial thoughts. That this is a chance for you to get 12 months free. Whereas if you sign up through my referral link, you'll get 1 month free, but I'll also get a month free. So I'll chuck that one in. And I'll also chuck in a link to the newsletter so that of the zero people that listen to this, that 1% of them can sign up for the newsletter as well. Here's one from the ABC, which is just an interesting read, because this thing's happening in reverse. When Zahara downloaded a game with sexist ads, she didn't expect to find friendship or discover Islam. The whole gist of it is that a woman from Brisbane started playing this mobile game called Game of Sultans. It is an empire simulation role-playing game. Players strive to become and remain the ruler of the Ottoman Empire. So much of the game is about forging alliances and fighting rivals. Apparently the ads for it were quite sexist, which if you've seen an ad for a mobile game is par for the course. But what happened is she started playing the game because she wanted to see what it was really about after seeing these sexist ads. Started joining some, whatever they might be in this game, clans or groups or whatnot, based around Australia, Singapore and Indonesia. And then got more involved with some of the people that she was playing with, some of them being based in Singapore and around. Got talking with them a bit more, built up a personal connection, ended up converting to Islam, and apparently she's moving over to Malaysia to get married. It's, marriage and moving to Malaysia. So, I'm looking here, because again, I hadn't read this article that close, and for some reason this one opened up the actual web page instead of in Pocket, so I can't highlight things. It's just wild. Just wild reading this, because usually the old joke is that gamers are a bunch of atheists that, are also massive racists. So it's just whack to hear of a game making someone go the other way. Here's another one that I pulled from the New Daily, but when this came out, it was all over the news. Alan Jones announces retirement from radio after 35 years. So, yeah, this is Alan Jones, 35-year career in radio. He's finally getting out of there. Yeah, this is after teaching the Wallabies how to lose and getting caught with a man in a public toilet, I think it was, in London. Apparently, jet lag. Jet lag makes you gay. Anyway, so, yeah, he's decided that he's going to retire somewhat early in his contract, apparently, which may or may not have anything to do with the advertiser boycott around his comments regarding New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinta Ardern. And as good news as this may sound to a lot of people, this article here mentions that Jones will be replaced by Ben Fordham, who hosts the Drive program on 2GB. So, look, I haven't listened to Ben. I don't listen to Alan either. But the problem is, we're talking about 2GB radio here. They've got a bunch of people, just like Alan Jones, in the wings, waiting to take his spot and go in and probably, if anything, be worse. And the article closes out by saying, Jones will continue to appear on his regular Sky News program and write for News Corp's The Daily Telegraph and the Australian newspapers. And then there's a double full stop there. So, yeah, he's off radio, but he's not retiring from public life. So, muted applause there. At least it's something. Here's one from The Verge. Sony's WH-1000 XM4 headphones may let you pair more than one device. Now, if you have a job in the city, back when we used to go to that fucking horrible place, you would have noticed a lot of people with these big black Sony headphones. And those are the XM3s. I've got a pair myself, and they're some fucking amazing headphones. My brother's got a pair as well. He loves them. But there's been a lot of speculation because the next version's coming out soon. People are very excited because these are such fucking bomb-ass headphones. And a little something that people have teased out is actually from the headphone app. and updates in there. And the app isn't actually terrible. As great as the headphones are, they have a usable app. What it mentions here in this article is the code hints that the M4 headphones may be able to simultaneously pair with two devices, a feature not present in its predecessor. This is interesting because I saw that there's a big update to Bluetooth just overall, which will be able to allow multiple devices to connect to a single device at once. But that seems a little bit further down the line. So I don't know if this is technically going to be like two receivers or what it's going to do. But yeah, it seems like at the very least, this means that you could connect your headphones to one device or another, and then it's not an absolute fuck around to switch between them. One of the classic cases being if for some reason you switch your headphones over to connect to your laptop, that then when you get a phone call and you're like, fuck this, I'm going to take this call on my headphones, and you turn them on and you wonder why they're not connecting to your phone, it's because they're looking for the last thing they connected to, which was your laptop. You then connect to your fucking laptop and you have to figure out, because the Bluetooth on your laptop is going to stay on because you probably have other peripherals that need connected, how to turn the headphones off and have it reconnect to your phone again. This means it won't be as much of a problem. But there's been a lot of other speculation around these headphones because people are pretty excited for them, that they're apparently going to look the same. There's hope that they might be able to hit that 40-hour range on the battery life. These ones already have fucking great battery and charge fast. But 40 hours is like a real milestone. If they can beat that, like, that'll be pretty exciting, even if they look exactly the same. Like, I don't know if I would upgrade when they come out, because it seems like Sony knows they're onto a good thing and they don't want to fuck with that formula too much. But I'm keeping an eye out for any extra news around these M4s, because who boy. Here's just a quick summary of something you should check out from PC Gamer. The real world is now more ridiculous than GTA 6 could ever hope to satirize. It's a point, isn't it? I haven't highlighted anything in this because you should read it for yourself. But that's the problem. All the stuff, you know, in the universe of Grand Theft Auto, like all the radio stations, the billboards, everything else, was all making fun of what was happening in the real world. And as this article mentions, things are getting so ridiculous that stuff from previous GTA games almost feels fucking tame. So how would you give Grand Theft Auto its classic satire without it almost feel like it's getting into fucking, what's that other one? Saints Row territory. It's ridiculous. But alright, so moving on. This one, another lot of big news, but I got this one from Junkie. The Zack Snyder cut of Justice League will finally see the light of day. So, yeah, if you don't know about what happened with the Justice League, the movie that would just have been completely forgettable if it wasn't for a vocal cohort on the internet, is that DC, in their desperate attempt to catch up with Marvel in terms of a cinematic universe, pushed out a Justice League crossover movie after only about two to three other films, with characters, some of which didn't have their own films featuring therein. And during the process, the director, Zack Snyder, suffered a personal tragedy, and he had to leave the project. There's speculation that when he had to leave, they told him not to bother coming back. And then Warner Brothers got Joss Whedon in to do reshoots and complete the film. Justice League came out, and it was absolute dog shit. But some people were convinced that Zack Snyder was robbed of his magnum opus, and that there was a great film in the Warner Brothers vaults, and they weren't letting us see it, because apparently Warner Brothers doesn't like money. That this film was too good to be released, because if it came out, yeah, it's one of those things that falls apart when you try to think about it for more than a second. That anyway, the Snyder cut of Justice League will be hitting HBO Max in 2021. It doesn't mention it in this article. It's probably ones that came out later, but apparently, it's going to be like over fucking 4 hours long. So this is a man who has only read like 3 comics, doesn't understand the intended audience, fills all his movies up with surface level philosophy, and doesn't know how to edit either, and that somehow, 4 hours of Justice League will be better than the movie that we got. I didn't watch it because I watched Batman vs. Superman, and that was such a steaming pile of dog shit that it made me lose interest in a movie with Batman in it. That's how bad Batman vs. Superman was, that I didn't want to watch another Batman movie. Okay, another article here from Bleeding Cool, which is related. People destroying copies of Justice League because Snyder Cut exists. Okay, yeah, here we go. So a surprising number of fans are taking to social media sites and showing off destroyed and burning copies of what they refer to as Justice League. As I mentioned, that since Joss Whedon was brought in to do reshoots of the film, there was a lot of tonal inconsistency, and people feel like Joss Whedon ruined the film. Now that they know a Snyder Cut is coming out, the absolutely insane people that bought a physical copy of that movie have made a display on social media of destroying their copies of Justice League in a show of solidarity around the Snyder Cut. Again, this article posits that it seems like none of these people have considered that maybe the Snyder version won't be much better. That at over four hours worth, it could be worse. And this being Bleeding Cool in their classic style, they speculate at the end on what will these people do if the Snyder Cut isn't better. That because it's on streaming, what will they destroy? Will they be setting fire to their TVs or their Rokus or whatever else they watch it on? Will they have to upload pictures from friends' Twitter accounts of their smashed phones? That, yeah, I don't think anyone's wanted to. Anyone who was a big Snyder Cut advocate probably doesn't want to consider it too much further, because if the Snyder Cut is worse, then they're going to look silly having carried on about this since 2017. That's when Justice League came out, and they've been advocating for the Snyder Cut ever since. I can't believe there's such momentum for a release of mediocrity. It's ridiculous. Here's one from The Guardian. Australian worker sacked over Hitler parody video has win in federal court. So it says here, a BP worker who was sacked after privately sharing a version of a Hitler parody video during pay negotiations has had a win in the federal court. So this is from the movie Downfall. You know the whole one where Hitler's in his bunker, they give him some bad news, and he takes his glasses off with a shaking hand and just starts shouting? So apparently this guy did a subtitle of that video all around heated and protracted enterprise bargaining negotiations at the company, and he shared it into a private Facebook group of friends and colleagues. Seems like someone must have fucking narked on him, which this article does not focus on. And as a result, the oil and gas giant fired him, alleging the video depicted the negotiation team as Nazis and breached the company's code of conduct. Pulling a pretty fucking long bow there, BP. But, you know, fuck BP. It says here that the technician claimed unfair dismissal, which the Fair Work Commission rejected, ruling the video inappropriate and offensive, but he won his job back on appeal after the full bench of the commission found it was satirical. BP challenged it. There was a lot of back and forth, and he finally got a win. Trying to see, was it that he got his job back, or was it around the enterprise stuff? I think he got his job back. I don't know about the enterprise agreement stuff. I hope that at least these employees are getting a bit of money out of this giant company that is literally killing the fucking earth. So, yeah, strip them of all their worth while they take all their natural resources. Good on you, mate. Here's one from the ABC. It's regional targets, the heaviest hit as closures loom. And this has got a full list of all the target department stores that are set to close down or rebrand to Kmart's. And it's got a nice convenient list here of stores to close, stores to rebrand, and down by state. So if you're worried about your nearby local one, that you can refer to this. It's interesting. Town I come from in Griffith has a Target which has been performing fucking abysmally since it opened over 10 years ago, but it's not on the list here. A lot of these places that are set to close, it's all either this year or 2021. So I think this is just starting with stores whose leases were coming up to begin with. So we'll have to see. There'll probably be more closures and rebrandings in the future, but these are just the ones that are going to be affected by this initial wave. So, sucks for all the employees. I hope you're able to move on and find something. It's probably best back home that the Target doesn't close just yet, because the Big W closed down and then got replaced by a Kmart, but that was a bit of a fuck around for the workers there. But yeah, it's Target. I'm not too sad to see the back of it. Here's another bit of a weird one from the Sydney Morning Herald. Trump's press secretary reveals president's bank account details. And this is the new press secretary called Kayleigh McEnany. Kayleigh McEnany. Wow. Yeah, so this is like the first Kayleigh to have a real job. So interesting times and a breakthrough for white women everywhere. And what this is meant to be all about is Trump's made a big deal of donating the salary that he was meant to get as president, because he's, you know, like a billionaire, allegedly. Just like how every other president has been independently wealthy before moving into the White House. But what she did was hold up what seems to be a real check. Is it a check? Showing that his salary's been donated. And because it's a real one and not a display one, it displays the president's private bank account and routing numbers, which means that for a normal person, that information could be used to withdraw or deposit money, make online purchases, or hack an account. That, of course, the White House is trying to say that, you know, oh, this is the mainstream media trying to focus on, you know, trying to make a non-issue out of something instead of focusing on the fact that he's donating his money to coronavirus relief. But it's basic fucking shit, isn't it? You don't hold up these sorts of real documents in a public forum. I feel like it's worth mentioning. Who cares where his money's going, especially if he's trying to tout that it's going to coronavirus relief when he's trying to deny it and play it down in every other respect. So please, someone get a high-res image of that document and buy yourself a bunch of fucking iPhones, just like every other scammer would. Here's another one from the Sydney Morning Herald about another failing world leader. Profanity-laced video of cabinet meeting puts Bolsonaro under fire. So, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, a Supreme Court judge ordered a profanity-laced video showing Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro expressing frustration at his inability to get information from police and vowing to change cabinet ministers if needed to protect his family, released on Friday in a potential new blow for a leader whose popularity has been sagging. So this is the guy who stopped appearing in public for a while because everyone thought he had coronavirus, because, again, he's another person that doesn't want to admit it's out there, seems to continually go jet skiing and challenges members of the army to push-up competitions. And now he's wondering why none of these departments want to work with him and why he's getting no information. As it says here, at another point in the video, a furious Bolsonaro also complains about his inability to get information from the police or other agencies. "I have the power, and I will interfere in all ministries. No exception," he said. I'm sure he sounds like that. "I cannot be surprised by news. I have the federal police that do not give me information. I have the armed forces intelligence that does not give me information. The intelligence agency, I have some information. I don't have more because we have some problems," Bolsonaro added. "We cannot live without information." This video also goes on for 2 hours. And so there's a lot in there. He also insults governors who are enforcing stay-at-home measures and threatens to fire ministers praised by the mainstream media and defends the view that his countrymen should possess firearms to avoid being governed by tyrants. So, yeah, typical Trump shit, but somehow even more incompetent. Brazil, this is your leader. I'll just quickly glaze over this one. SBS. Clive Palmer planning high court challenge after being denied entry into lockdown WA. So again, this is a classic story of a billionaire suing the state because he's not allowed to do whatever he wants. As the article states, Clive Palmer has been denied entry to Western Australia as the government remains adamant interstate borders remain closed for months. Mr. Palmer wanted to visit WA for meetings with business people, Senator Matthias Cormann and potential 2021 state election candidates for his United Australia Party, but was knocked back because the border is fucking closed. But he wanted to travel on in there. He was turned back around, just as any citizen or anyone trying to enter the state would. But because it's him, he's taken a particular offence to it. And this is a... Mr. McGowan reiterated WA's interstate borders would likely remain closed for months. That's WA Premier Mark McGowan. After batting away bullying from New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian over the issue earlier this week, citing the Ruby Princess debacle, Mr. McGowan said WA's eighth day of no new coronavirus cases was in contrast to the nation's most populated states. So, yeah, look, WA gets a bit of a free pass just due to its overall isolation, but... yeah, this is someone who was having a bit of a backbone and actually trying to stop the spread of things, something that Ms. Berejiklian could do well to learn from. All right, here's a change in fucking tone as we go into some international news from the Daily Beast. What a fucking headline. Serial pony rapist allegedly caught with his pants down in Delaware police sting. Oh boy, this is a fucking article, I tell you what. For months, equestrian centre workers were puzzled by a spate of injuries to horses and ponies in Delaware. It seemed someone was sneaking into the stables in the dead of night and tying up the animals' back legs. Eventually, police launched a sting operation to figure out who could have embarked on such a bizarre crime spree. Newcastle County police officers never suspected how sordid their investigation would become. That sets it up to sound like some real, you know, fuck, some real, like, true detective level shit. As it says here, on Thursday they charged Michael Rigueo, 31, of Hartley, Kent County, with two counts of felony bestiality and two counts of felony burglary in connection with the suspected serial rape of ponies, dating back to September 2019. He is in jail pending $12,000 bail. Oh boy. I got a... Because what they did with this one is they upped the surveillance cameras around the place where this was happening, and they ended up getting better video of what was going on and were eventually able to identify him. They've got a section, they've got a paragraph here that goes into detail of what was happening. Do you want to hear it? Because I'm going to fucking read it out. So maybe skip ahead, you know, 30 seconds or a minute if you don't want to listen to this. On April 20, they received a call that a 31-year-old brown mare had been harmed overnight. Upon reviewing the surveillance footage from the evening before, they discovered a man wearing a dark jacket entering the stall around midnight with a bucket of grain. He then tied up the mare's back hoofs, pulled down his pants, and sexually assaulted the horse, which writhed in pain from the leg restraints, though did not seem to notice the penetration. After ejaculating into the horse, the man got dressed and left the stall, taking the bucket of grain with him. So there you go. It's bad enough that these horses were getting raped, let alone that then they're getting their ankles hurt from being tied down, which is, I feel like that's the sort of thing you learn from that, that you realize you got to tie a horse's back legs down, after you've tried to rape your first horse. So, fuck, this guy knew what he was doing, didn't he? Here's another quick one from Rock Paper Shotgun. That Rainbow Six Siege mobile knockoff has vanished after Ubisoft sued Apple, Google, and the developers. Now, I know that pretty much no one likes Ubisoft, but I got to say that when it comes to litigation, these motherfuckers know what they're doing, as the article says here. Area F2 may as well be called Area 51, great pun, now that Ubisoft have sued Apple, Google, and the developers of the mobile game that looks suspiciously similar to Mr. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. That is, Tom Clancy, who has been dead for years, somehow is still able to both put out games and novels. Area F2's developer, Ejoy, have now posted a statement confirming the game's closure, and it's been delisted from both the Google Play Store and App Store. So, look, I say that this is how you'd have to do it if you wanted an app taken down. Both Google and Apple, it's just a fucking Wild West on both of their respective stores. They don't give a shit. You can put whatever the fuck you want up there. Ubisoft must have figured out that if you want an app taken off their stores, you've got to implicate them directly. And even just the risk of them losing money on this, they assess the value of, just the value of having to fight the case, because it's not actually going to go to court. How much that would cost versus how much they're making from the app, and decide what the best course of action is from there. And I think that's how you have to get something like that taken down. So Ubisoft might be fucking lazy when it comes to just pumping out the same boring as fuck open world adventure games, whether they're just first person or third person parkour things. But at least they've got a pretty smart and innovative legal team. All right, here's a fucking whack thing from Tone Deaf. 50 Cent claims, "I didn't do that," after mashup mural artist is hospitalized following rapper's threats. So I don't know if you're like a Brown Cardigan fan or if you just live in Melbourne, but you're probably familiar with the artist Lush Sucks. Really risen to prominence by being able to paint a meme on the wall faster than you can fucking see it on your phone. It's ridiculous how quick he gets around to things. As the article goes into details here, the murals portraying 50 Cent as an array of different people from Donald Trump, Post Malone, Chairman Mao, and Tekashi 6ix9ine, that's the only time I've ever said that name out loud, to Taylor Swift and even Oprah, were not well received by the candy shop rapper. Soon after the murals went viral, 50 Cent became livid, taking to Instagram to say that he'd like to hit this MF right in the back of his head while he doing this shit, and he think I can't find his ass in Australia. I have a not put right on his fucking head. So that's, that was the post from Instagram. So 50 Cent, who apparently doesn't have a sense of humor, doesn't like that someone actually remembers who he is. And then in a strange twist of fate, it apparently seems that Curtis's reach is long, as then Lush posted on Instagram later, 50 seems to want some more walls. Unfortunately, some 6 or 7 smooth brains at one time on the street already put me in hospital already this month because of this shit. I don't like to bring up all the bad stuff I have to deal with just to paint some ha-ha funny you laugh now images on walls, but I guess now is a chance. I constantly have to unwillingly fight people, among other insane shit you would not believe even if I told you, on the street for whatever cooked reason seem to feel the need to come up to me at a wall and start trouble. It's tiresome, but it will not stop me from doing what 99.8% of what everyone else seems to, for the most part, get a hearty chuckle out of, because they aren't sociopathic pieces of shit. So, look, leave Lush alone. And if 50 put you up to this, shame on you. That Lush is a national treasure, then there is nothing more joyful in life than being caught in Melbourne traffic and looking over and seeing a Lush on a wall. You know, whatever fucking whack shit, like Peter Griffin as Sans from Undertale, or whatever other retarded stuff he does. Some fucking stupid Elon Musk quote. Brightens your day. Leave Lush alone. Here's another one from PC Mag. EA to open source PC game Command & Conquer, enabling you to create crazy mods. So look, just a heads up, this is the source code to a classic PC strategy game, Command & Conquer Tiberian Dawn, is going to be made freely available, enabling fans to easily mod it. Electronic Arts announced the news as the company prepares to release the 4K remaster to Command & Conquer Tiberian Dawn and Command & Conquer Red Alert on June 5th. So, look, this is kind of interesting, because the biggest thing here for me is, like, I'm not a modder. I don't really know any shit about that. I haven't even played the game to have any sentimental connection to it. But the biggest thing I just do when this sort of stuff comes up is I just pull all the sound effects to potentially use them as, like, message tones. So I might be keeping a bit of an eye on this just for that. I tried to do a similar thing. My girlfriend was watching a YouTube video about the game Turok, and someone was able to find the source code for that on like one of the original developer kits for the Nintendo 64. So I downloaded that, hoping to pull out some message tones, but they all seem to be in some fucking weird format, so it might take some playing around. But, yeah, I mean, this is probably, you know, it's EA here, so, again, another game company without a good reputation. This is probably one of the coolest marketing stunts you could do from a game with such a long history as Command & Conquer. So, that'll be interesting, and I can't wait to read some articles about the whack shit people come up with. Here's one from Mumbrella. Domino's gives away pizza parties to couples who had their wedding had to postpone their weddings. So yeah, the good taste extends beyond the pizza in Domino's. Honestly, this feels like more of a fucking KFC stunt. The article says, Domino's is supporting couples who have had to postpone their weddings due to COVID-19 by commemorating their usual date with a pizza party for two. It invites those affected by COVID-19 delays to say, I do, instead of I do. You can tell that one was come up by fucking committee. The competition comes off the back of Domino's giving away an 18-carat yellow and white gold diamond and ruby pizza engagement ring in February. Now, this one was of interest to me because I actually have some friends who had to postpone their wedding because of COVID, but it seems like they'd miss out on this deal because their date has already passed. So look, if you are yet to be married, you can click through on this one and in 250 words, beg Domino's to send you some fucking pizza to make up for not being able to have your wedding. It's totally worth it. Here's another one in gaming from ozgamers.com. System Shock 3 has a new developer in the form of Tencent. So, this is a... if you're not familiar with the System Shock series, there was one good game and one great game that came out as a result of it. I got a good chunk of the way through System Shock 2, and then my old PC died, so I've been meaning to jump on that hard drive and get some things like save files off there. But it's fucking intense. Like, imagine a first-person Resident Evil in space. Hoo boy. And it was being developed by Other Side Entertainment, who were making a spiritual successor to the Underworld franchise, which, by all reports, was absolute dog shit. So people weren't too enthused about them working on System Shock 3. But it seems like System Shock was a bit too difficult for them, and now Chinese mega corporation Tencent is taking over. How big are they? Well, the article goes on to list Tencent, which owns slices of Fortnite, Call of Duty, League of Legends, PUBG, and many more. But yeah, I was reading about that they bought a considerable stake in Epic Games a little while ago. So, yeah, Tencent has a bit of a hand in things like Fortnite. And there's not a lot of details here on what form this will all take and what exactly is going to happen. And whilst you may not like a Chinese mega corporation taking over a beloved video game franchise, that if you go out and read some reviews for, I think it was like Underworld Ascendant or something, because it was, the Ultima series. They worked on the Ultima Underworld games. They made an indie studio, worked on this reboot. It was shit. And then they were going to do System Shock, which it seems like they haven't been able to handle. So now Tencent's taking over. So interesting. End of the day, I just hope we get a good System Shock. Here's one from Daily Review. The bass guitar. Every home should have one. And I'll just stick to the highlights here because there's a bit of an interesting read. Bass guitar owner Mike Conamy used his cheapest guitar to first fend off and then chase two would-be burglars who broke into his home into the early hours. The thieves wanted his car, but what they got instead was a sound thrashing, so to speak. Again, wonderful journalistic puns here. That Mike was quoted as saying, I picked up the cheapest guitar I had, went wheeling out after them, came around the corner, said, come on boys, let's go. And I ran them out of the house and smashed their car window in the process. Because a bass guitar that's a hefty-ass motherfucker. That imagine a guitar, but bigger. That's pretty much a bass guitar. So, yeah, dangerous. And as it says here, that Mr. Konami has several guitars, but he chose the bass because it's older, used less often, and most importantly, wielding against invaders, it has a greater reach. It seems like he's maybe not a, you know, the bass isn't his primary weapon of choice. So, yeah, if you got a couple of scratches on your bass guitar from either smashing a window or knocking out some thief's teeth, that you wouldn't feel as bad about it. Here's one on the conversation I'm going to gloss over quickly. Don't let them out. 15 ways to keep your indoor cat happy. That, yeah, I wish that the conversation would maybe borrow a little bit out of the listicle writing approach. But it's got a bunch of ways here to help look after your indoor cat when you're stuck at home. Interesting points here. Like, have one litter tray per cat. It expands on that. You can click through yourself to find out why. Regular grooming with your cat's favorite grooming brush is fun and feels like a massage. Consider providing some natural food, such as raw chicken drumsticks. Setting up the space. Cats need vertical space more than horizontal space, so a ladder or other objects to let them climb to the top of a wardrobe or the fridge. Use cat furniture, which expands vertical space. Cats like windows. No fucking shit. Cats love model points of safety and seclusion. Cats have a higher thermoneutral temperature than dogs and people, so they seek out warm places. Place some baskets in the sun, or a basket in front of the heater. So that's why they're always looking for warm places. This is interesting. Yeah, cat scratching towels for exercise. Look, there's a lot of points here. So you can read through this one. Oh, and at the bottom of the article, it's got a link to a YouTube video. A video for cats, 8 hours. One of those ones where it's just like a bunch of birds flying in front of the TV. Here's another one from the Industry Observer, which is just kind of like a spin-off of Tone Deaf. Spotify's Joe Rogan podcast deal is huge, but artists should be pissed. Because this was big news that I'm sure a lot of you heard about, that Joe Rogan was going to get paid $100 million US over the course of the next couple of years for his podcast to be exclusive to Spotify. But, yeah, this article is the one I saved because it's got a bit more of a take on it, which is that if you're a regular musician who has their work on Spotify, that you should be pretty fucking pissed off about this, because Spotify has developed a reputation of paying artists fuck all for their music on their platform, which is the main reason people go on there. And now, because they just want to take over podcasting, that they've paid this guy who believes in psychotropics and just likes to talk about smoking weed all the time $100 million, so all his incel loser listeners can sign up to a Spotify subscription. That I've only listened to a few episodes of his podcast, and the only thing I would hope is that this means that he gets rid of the ads at the start of it. But yeah, it's got some interesting details on here. For his podcast license, the right-leaning Prophet Kerr just got paid the equivalent value of over 26 billion streams, wrote Tom Gray, director at UK Royalties, Music Copyright and Listening Society, PRS for Music. That's what it is. So that's what he's getting paid. And there's a few more figures here. So stop making music. Just start a fucking podcast. Release three-hour episodes a week, talking to whatever fucking grifter has a book to sell, and then sell it to Spotify. Why do we even bother making fucking art anymore? Here's another one from Variety, and this one opened up to the actual page, so no highlights, I'll gloss over it quickly. Batwoman star Ruby Rose exits series ahead of season 2. This just stands out because Ruby Rose, became a public figure, being a Channel V VJ here in Australia, finally got to expand into movies, starred in a bunch of weird shit, with probably your two highlights being a supporting role in one of the John Wick films, and then making everybody's girlfriend gay with her appearance in Orange is the New Black. You know, gay enough to talk about it on Twitter, not so much to act on it in the bedroom, to a lot of people's dismay. But then she was able to get a role as Kathy Kane in the CW's Batwoman series, which, after all the excitement and hullabaloo over that, she is leaving after one season. There's been some other articles come out expanding on it, talking about her working conditions, hours, and a few more behind-the-scenes things going on. But yeah, so after that big deal, she's leaving. I haven't really been keeping up with any of the CW DC shows, so if you really care, you can look into how they work around that. Here's another one from PC Gamer. People are extremely unhappy with Doom Eternal's kernel mode anti-cheat. This was quite an interesting read, because it talks about where this rolled out initially was, if you're familiar with Riot Games, who do League of Legends, which was mentioned in a previous article, having a stake of it owned by Tencent. They made their generic shooter Valorant, and it uses this kernel mode anti-cheat software. People don't like it because it runs on startup of your computer, so it's technically running in the background even when you're not playing the game, and it disables pretty much any program that has the potential of being exploited. So not stopping anti-cheating directly, but stopping even the chance of anti-cheating happening. And the part of the problem is it needs to run on startup, because if it doesn't get that verification when your computer turns on, then you can't play it at all. And people have complained that there's been some things like some temperature monitoring drivers for their computers that have been disabled because of this kernel mode anti-cheat software. And look, I just know from the little bit of PC troubleshooting that I've done that when things reach the kernel level, you're fucked. It's a big deal. And what's happened now is that Doom Eternal, to try and quash cheaters as well, has rolled out similar software. And because of the controversy around Valorant, they're not too happy with Doom Eternal taking on either. Alright, next article here from OzGamers. Doom Eternal to remove de novo anti-cheat after adding it in recent update. So, yeah, these articles were a couple of days apart. At the very least, you can commend id Software for listening to the fan base, and they've removed it. They're looking into some other options for anti-cheat software, but since people weren't happy with it, and they didn't like what it would do to their computers, they got rid of it. So props to them. I watched a video with the director of Doom Eternal, and let me tell you, he is the exact sort of guy you'd expect to direct a video game like that, and the exact sort of guy you would want to. So, look, props to id at the very least. They were trying to do what's right by the game and decided to do what was right by the gamers. You tell me any other time a developer has listened to the fans. Here's one from the AV Club. Now, look, last week I brought the sad news that the Logies are going to be postponed. Prepare your hearts for this, because the 2021 Oscars might be postponed. I know that we can only take so much, but COVID is taking away so much from us. So, look, yeah, I'll just breeze over this. According to anonymous sources who spoke to Variety, I'm not going to click through the original article, who gives a fuck, there are some plans being made inside the Academy to postpone the Oscars past the planned February 28th, 2021 telecast date, and it'll be likely that they'll be pushed back. We'll see what happens. You know, it's one of those things. Honestly, who really fucking cares? That you don't need to be some MAGA hat wearing Trump supporter to realize that maybe the Oscars aren't all that. Moving on. This one again from The Age. This is another fucking headline. Coked up shooter. Police seize guns, drugs on day one of duck season. This is one of those slightly exaggerated headlines, because as it says here, police have seized guns and drugs from a recreational duck hunter from Melbourne and suspended his game shooting license after allegedly finding him with illicit drugs during the opening weekend of the hunting season. Footage taken on Saturday near a lake at St. Helens Plains, southeast of Horsham, shows police descending on the area before conducting a body search of one of the men and questioning over an item found inside his ute. So, it's a witness who was out at the same time, saw two guys with guns who were planning to go duck hunting, snorting some white powder off a picnic table. He then, I suppose, proceeded to video them and then narc on them to the local authorities. Police went out and arrested them, and yeah, this was day one of duck season. This is while the pandemic's going on. People are going out, snorting coke, shooting ducks. A 21-year-old hillside man received a diversion for possessing a drug of dependence and had his gun seized and gun license suspended. The second man was released without charge. And look, it's fair enough here that animal welfare advocates are jumping on this case. Animal Justice Party member Andy Medic said shooters were also captured failing to kill injured ducks, with one even throwing a live bird into a boat to be set upon by two dogs. Ugh. Why did I highlight that? This evidence shows it's not just our native water birds at risk of duck shooters, it's the safety of all Victorians at risk of crossing paths with coked-up shooters on our public wetlands, on our public roads. That, yeah, so he's calling on Dandrew Annuals to just cancel duck season outright. We'll see what happens, but fuck, what a start. Here's one from The Register. Equifax finally coughs up the money for its 2017 monster hack. To the banks for having to cancel your cards. So yeah, it's understandable if you've forgotten about the whole Equifax hack that happened a couple of years ago, mostly because it only affected people in the US and had nothing to do with anyone here in Australia, really. But yeah, they're paying out $5.5 million to those affected, not to the people themselves, but to the banks and credit unions who said they were injured by their customers' details being siphoned off by hackers, and a further $25 million to beef up data security. Equifax will also cover up the bank's administrative costs, attorney fees, and relevant expenses. So yeah, the people who had their data leaked aren't getting anything, but the banks and credit unions that had to deal with the fallout, they're getting compensated quite adequately. The Register can either get overly technical or overly colloquial with its articles, so I just pulled out the most important things there. But yeah, this is American capitalism at its finest. So yeah, just fuck. Glad we don't have anyone like that here in Australia where that could potentially happen. Touch wood. Here's one from The Verge. A pizzeria owner made money buying his own $24 pizzas from DoorDash for $16. And you would think, how does that work? Well, here we go. I'll throw you into this one here. It says here, this is a fucking line. Yesterday, Ranjan Roy, a content strategist and writer, wrote about the latter in his newsletter, The Margins, on Substack. So, look, this is a guy who has a Substack newsletter, so let's not put too much credence into this. This is a quick aside. My newsletter is on Substack, so if you'd like to subscribe there and to check out the other things I've been up to, I'll include a link in the show notes. So, look, this is something that he says happened to a friend of his, so we'll take that with a grain of salt. His newsletter says, a pizza that he charged $24 for was listed as $16 by DoorDash, because this was an auto-generated Google result by DoorDash for delivery. So this guy had nothing set up with DoorDash. They just decided they would deliver pizzas for him if you chose to go through them. So he was charging $24. DoorDash was charging $16. And his third thought was, cue the Wall Street trader in me, arbitrage. So this is where it gets to make sense of how you make money buying your own pizzas for less. And so the story unfolds. If someone could pay DoorDash $16 a pizza, and DoorDash would pay his restaurant $24 a pizza, then he should clearly just order pizzas himself via DoorDash all day long, and you'd net $8 profit per pizza. And so apparently, that's exactly what he did. And he bought about 10 pizzas to start with and kept doing this for a couple of weeks. And, yeah, because he's by themselves, he doesn't have to make the pizzas. He doesn't have pizzas going anywhere. But, yeah, he was just buying these pizzas for $16 and then getting paid $24 for these same pizzas. The one thing that this article does go on to, which is unexpected of The Verge, that later in the piece, Roy points out that DoorDash lost $450 million, generating $900 million in revenue last year, which is wild. The delivery business was working fine just before DoorDash and co. swept in with in piles of money to burn. And the article goes on to talk about how food delivery is a means to an end. No one wants to do it. That all these big companies coming in, touting that they're going to revolutionize it, none of them are making any money because they're putting all this technology and shit on top of a service that no one wants to do. So, look, despite all the content strategists and Wall Street talk of that newsletter, good on this bloke for fucking over DoorDash, for trying to, for really delivering pizzas on his behalf without even telling him, and running a wildly fucking unprofitable business, while probably just siphoning money off SoftBank and ripping off their delivery drivers and the very restaurants that they're meant to be servicing. So, fuck DoorDash. Here's another one from BNT. Reporter stays cool as her pet cats try and shred one another during live TV cross. So I actually watched this video, which I don't usually do, but it's just a good bit of fun in that, yeah, there's a woman here just trying to talk on the news from home, and then in the background, you see her two cats just fucking wiling on each other. Not much more to it. Links will be in the show notes. Just go watch it. It's a fucking good old time. Here's another quick one from PC Mag. 14 tips for safe online shopping. And this is really, they didn't all come through in the article here in Pocket, but that's not the point of it. It's more, this is the sort of thing you can read yourself to send to the people you know who aren't very technically savvy to make sure that they're doing the most basic of things. You know, two-factor authentication, not clicking on dodgy links, going on trusted websites. It's basic shit. But some people don't fucking learn. Anyway, this one from Junkie. Labor knows $40 is enough to live on, but still doesn't think job seeker should stay. So this is all about Labor, now led by Anthony Albanese, just staying the absolute perfect miltoast fucking centrists that you would have just absolutely no opinion on. As the article says here, while speaking on Today, Labor leader Anthony Albanese simultaneously argued $40 isn't enough to live on, but job seeker should not extend, but the government should not cut off support overnight. So what he's trying to say here is the doubling of the job seeker payment that's happened as a result of the pandemic is too much to maintain. It needs to go down after this has been resolved, but not to the levels that it was before, which is just a wonderfully fucking middling position for everyone to just hate you. That all the people who have been advocating for an increase in job seeker are going to hate you for wanting to reduce it down because it's really at the levels it should have been to start with. And anyone who hates you anyway is going to, because you're going to be putting it up from what it was before. So it's just fucking amazing how Labor is able to fall through the cracks on every issue and find a position that absolutely no one would support. He did this on Today. Here's the extended quote. What I said is, $40 a day isn't enough for people to live on. The government acknowledged that when they increased JobSeeker. This doesn't change after the event, Albo said. Now, I don't think it should be kept at the level where it is, where JobSeeker is higher than the age pension. That's not a reasonable position. But it is the case, I think, that JobSeekers shouldn't go back down to $40 a day. So this is probably the very fucking focus-grouped and consultant-led position that, oh, where JobSeeker is at the moment, it's higher than the pension. We shouldn't be paying job seekers more than the old people who work their lives in much better economic conditions and are now actually able to retire. That's probably the angle they're going for. But fuck, like, this article does the very typical thing of just including a bunch of embedded tweets. But there's one here from an, let's see, yeah, an Amrita Eganazi from at Eganazi. When did this person create their fucking account? It says here, I agree, Albo MP. Job seekers shouldn't be higher than the pension and DSP, but the solution should be to raise the pensions, not cut job seeker. That's something I could get behind. If the problem is that job seeker is unsustainable at its previous levels, and when it's been doubled it's higher than the pensions, then keep it where it is and bump up the pensions. That money isn't real, especially money given out by the government. Just let them fucking have it. Here's another one from the New Daily. This is just a fucking weird one. Puppy scam fleeces lonely Aussies of $300,000 amid pandemic. So, I don't know what the fuck is going on with this, but as the article says, if a cute puppy offered online sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That is a message from the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, which estimates that Australians have lost almost $300,000 to puppy scams during the coronavirus pandemic. Compared to the previous year, Scamwatch recorded a fivefold increase in April for dishonest schemes to extort money out of consumers for dogs that don't exist. Loneliness was the most widely reported source of personal stress in Australia during April, and April was when we saw this huge spike in puppy scams, said ACCC Deputy Chair Delilah Rickard. So, does this mean people are out there buying, giving people money for dogs they haven't even seen? Like, I think it's meant to be like expensive designer breeds because it says Cavoodles and French Bulldogs were the most common breeds reported in the scams. That I'm just surprised this is happening. Definitely dogs are the sort of thing I would want to go play with the dog first because it's not just knowing that it's real. It's about checking temperaments and that it gets along with you and all this other shit. But yeah, apparently people are just giving money for dogs that don't fucking exist. But it's got a little some bullet points down here of how to suss out a puppy scam. Do a reverse image Google search to check if the photo has been posted elsewhere on the internet. Some schemers get around this by altering the image. Do an online search of the seller's email address, which may bring up warnings on other sites. Check for membership numbers from breeder associations. Check out the seller's previous web presence. Try to meet the breeder in person and meet the adult dogs. There was another thing it mentioned here, which was to also copy and paste the text for the ad into Google. That they're probably using either the same text in multiple locations or the same text as other scammers to try get your money. But as another point it mentions here, Australians have so far lost more than $53 million all reported scams this year. So is that in this first 5 months of the year with a fucking pandemic going on that we've collectively wasted $53 million on scams? Ridiculous, ridiculous shit. Here's another one from the Register. I'll go quick because this has been dragging fucking on, Jesus Christ, so much talking. Alibaba's Jack Ma bails from SoftBank's board. So SoftBank, if you're not familiar, go listen to the Trash Future podcast. Pour money into every fucking stupid go-nowhere startup that was just born to fail. And Ma and SoftBank's founder, Miyazaki's son, have been close friends since SoftBank's bet on Alibaba in 2000. That investment was among SoftBank's most successful, and the Japanese company still holds a 25% stake worth around $136 billion. Wow. In the Chinese conglomerate. But, SoftBank also gets a lot of money from the Saudi royal family. It's kind of like an elaborate money laundering operation. The article also says that the news of Ma's departure comes as SoftBank prepares to report a $12.5 billion annual operating loss, its biggest ever. The company, which has large investments in companies such as WeWork, which are going exceptionally well at the moment, Oyo Hotels and Uber, who are also going exceptionally well, has been badly affected by the coronavirus pandemic. So it seems like old mate Jack was getting out before the going got bad. And it's not like he needs SoftBank anymore. He's got all the fucking money. And he's got he runs the very Amazon version, the Chinese version of Amazon. That's what I'm trying to fucking say. In that you can buy bulk quantities of even cheaper shit. And no doubt, a lot of people buy bulk shit from Alibaba and sell it individually on Amazon. Another quick one from The Age. You may have seen this one getting around. Man charged after alleged night at the museum. A 25-year-old man will face court on Monday after an alleged night at the museum. Thank you for restating the fucking headline. Police say that Paul Kuhn broke into the Australian Museum in Australia's CBD in the early hours of Sunday, May 10th. Why did it take me so long to get around to this one? Inside, he allegedly donned a cowboy hat he found on a coat rack that belonged to a staff member and took photos of himself on a tour of the exhibits. And he walked around, yeah, looking at all the exhibits and everything else going on. But then he crossed the fucking line. He allegedly stole an artwork as well as the hat before he left. You can break into the museum. You can take selfies with a resin mold of a dinosaur head. You can wear the employee's hats, but you not fucking steal it, Paul. That is too far. I hope they throw the book at you. Here's another wild fucking read from PC Gamer. Club Penguin clone with rampant penguin e-sex shut down. So, if you're familiar with Club Penguin, it was the Disney-owned digital hangout for kids, known for its very strict content filters and how quickly you could get banned for saying, you know, only slightly controversial things. But after Club Penguin was closed down, a lot of clones popped up, the largest of which was Club Penguin Online. And the moderation on all these clones is nowhere near as strict. They found a less family-friendly cartoon Arctic where the players engaged in penguin e-sex. Imagine this is just sexting online through the avatar of penguins, so not as nothing anywhere near as interesting as you're probably imagining. And some servers disabled content filters. One player invited the BBC to the igloo, which was decorated to spell out the N-word. So there you go. And they spoke to a former moderator, someone involved, a community manager of the old Club Penguin, and they said that these clones pose a risk because, yeah, they're nowhere near as closely moderated. I don't know, you might get some fucking kids trying to look for Club Penguin and ending up on there, and then having e-sex with another penguin inside an igloo that has the N-word written on it. Hang on. Something weird has just happened with my recording, so I am going to pause that, see what's going on, and then get back to the podcast. All right, everything's good. Didn't lose anything, thank fuck. And a bit of a longer break than planned, because whilst I was just quickly checking the status of the recording, my brother called. So, on to the next one from BNT. They're messing with our childhoods. Kellogg's updates Sam Toucan after 60 years, and Fruit Loop fans are furious. So, just that last bit of the headline again. Fruit Loop fans. Fruit Loop fans are serious. Furious. Seriously furious. Fuck them. Who gives a shit? Apparently people care what the fucking bird on the cereal they don't eat anymore looks like. It's an overly cartoonized version. Got that bean mouth Steven Universe look to it. Apparently some people have tried doing their own versions and saying that this isn't their Toucan Sam, as if they actually give a fuck. I am not convinced. Anything to just try and drum up a bit of controversy on Twitter, I suppose. Here's one from Mumbrella. BuzzFeed to close Australian news operations. A BuzzFeed spokesperson told Mumbrella the decision to effectively pull out of Australia was for economic and strategic reasons, so the struggling outfit could focus on news that hits big in the United States. Look, BuzzFeed got a bad rap, starting out doing clickbait articles, cat videos, quizzes and everything. But at least here in Australia, they expanded into doing some relatively decent news. And if that can be supplemented by immediately relatable articles and quizzes on what slice of pizza you are. That unfortunately, that's what you have to do these days, because BuzzFeed popped up at a time when you could get a bunch of traffic through social media. And then Facebook changed its algorithms, absolutely fucking everybody over. And then you got to try to do whatever you can to keep going. That, you know, this being a an American outfit, for some reason, a fucking news website gets VC funding. They grow faster than they can manage. And then eventually there's the inevitable crunch. As this also talks about, that BuzzFeed was running a bit of a skeleton crew here in Australia, keeping things down to a minimum. Last year, the company had already suffered a significant amount of redundancies, including general manager Simon Courier. At the time, a spokesperson told Mumbrella the organization remained committed to the Australian market. There's also mentioned here that they were going to try manage Australian news from the UK, which, you know, also sounds fucking impossible. But now it sounds like they're just going to pull out completely because it's too expensive to have offices all over the world, especially when the online advertising market is absolutely fucked. Here's another one from PC Mag, and this one is an article that's probably only relevant to me. RIP Google Play Music. Users told to migrate to YouTube Music. Yeah, see, you may have heard I was not overly warm to the idea of Spotify, because I am a fucking loser that uses Google Play Music. I'll be honest. YouTube, as I mentioned in a previous episode, worst for paying out artists for listens. Google Play Music's probably similar, so I'm not even doing a very good job of supporting them. As the article says, in 2017, Google said it would eventually merge Google Play Music with its YouTube Music streaming service, and known as YouTube Red. The move was intended to avoid confusion about Google's music services, but it has taken almost 3 years to become a reality. Google Play Music will shut down later this year. For now, users will continue to have access to both services, Google said in a blog post. Yeah, I'm one of probably the few fucking losers that actually pays for YouTube Premium, and I only did it for the music streaming. And I don't even use YouTube Music because it's a fucking shit app by comparison. And I don't even watch any of the YouTube originals. I barely think there's anything of fucking benefit to YouTube Premium aside from no ads. I more just did that, got the fucking family plan, so my girlfriend could watch videos on her tablet without getting ads before. And my dad, because he's retired, and so all he does is sit at home watching YouTube videos all day. So look, I'm probably the one fucking YouTube Premium advocate out there, and they're getting rid of the one thing that I signed up to it for. So we'll see what happens from there. And now, towards the end of things, we've got some fun articles. Another one from PC Gamer. Watch this World of Warcraft player one-shot a raid boss for 115 million damage using a genius exploit. You have to watch the video here in this one, because this is gets pretty creative. The key ability in the strategy is Diver's Folly, a one-handed axe with a special ability called Bioelectric Charge. Each time you attack with Diver's Folly, you have a chance to prime it, which stores 5% of your damage for 12 seconds and unleashes it as nature damage. In the Cataclysm expansion, there is a dungeon with a boss encounter that temporarily boosts your damage by 2,000%. That still isn't enough, though. So, Rex Troy, who was the name of the streamer that did this, stocks up on a special item called Manted Firebomb, which normally only deals a paltry 35 damage to any targets within its blast radius when thrown. Then it goes on to more details of how this guy was able to pull off this stunt using raid bosses, teleports, and a bunch of other shit. Check it out. If you give a shit about WoW or just want to watch some interesting design as someone overcomes many of the new features and everything added to an ongoing bloated game, it's an interesting read. Here's one from Gizmodo. I usually try to avoid them, but I couldn't with this one. Headline reads, "No one wants a swivel phone in 2020, but apparently that won't stop LG from trying." This is interesting. It's come out of Korea, a bit of a rumor mill. The LG is working on a new phone with dual screens that swivel out into a T-shape, evoking phones from the early 2000s. That main screen is reported to be a large 6.8-inch device, while the bottom screen will be a half-size 4-inch display with a square 1-to-1 aspect ratio. It's pretty much that. Imagine a regular phone swivels from the top, and then you have a little section at the bottom, which, as in one of the images here, can function like a keyboard. So you can have all the annoying downsides of trying to type on a portrait keyboard with an absolutely pointless landscape screen sitting above it. So I can't wait to eventually see one of those abominations out on the market to read the middling reviews and for them to get relegated to history. But, you know, the smartphone industry is so fucking boring at the moment. Folding screens turned out to be a dud. At least LG are trying. Another one from Bleeding Cool. Metroid Prime Trilogy appears to be on the way in June. There's a lot of speculation around the Metroid Prime series. You go on YouTube, there's a bunch of clickbait art, 20-minute fucking videos, either about the trilogy coming to Switch or about what the fuck's happening with the Metroid Prime 4. But this one has a degree of credence to it. This time around, we have to thank Swedish retailer iNet for the leak, as they posted a listing for a Nintendo Switch version of the game. What's more, the release date they have attached to it is June 19th, 2020. It's these are these fuck-ups in the listings by video game retailers. Honestly, that is the only thing we will miss when video game retail closes down completely, is that for some reason they can't list upcoming games on their fucking websites properly, and we always get to find out what's happening. Now, one thing which I didn't know previously from this article is that there was a trilogy already collected for the Wii back in 2009, and so that's why there's speculation that it'll happen again. It talks again a bit about Metroid Prime 4, which, if you look into that, was an absolute clusterfuck, and that people are just wondering when it'll come out, let alone if it'll be any good, but it has a lot to live up to. And again, if you sign up to my newsletter, I've been playing some of the Metroid games and similar adventure-style 2D platformers. You can read all about it there. And now, the last article, which is again fresh off the presses, and quite a fucking interesting read, from IGN. With virtual racing on the rise, Formula E just disqualified a racer for having another player pose as him. This is quite a fucking story. Formula E racer Daniel Abt has been disqualified in order to pay 10,000 euros to charity for illegally hiring a professional esports player to falsely compete as him in a virtual race, the BBC reports. So that is pretty much what it says. This guy, he usually races in what looks like one of those electronic Le Mans style cars, was meant to be racing on the game iRacing through the stream, because no one's allowed to go out and do anything at the moment. And apparently he just said, fuck that, hired a professional esports racer to drive for him, won, and then got caught. I mean, there's another highlight down here. That Abs Imposter, a pro gamer by the name of Lorenz Herzing, who was similarly disqualified from all future rounds of another racing ring series called the Challenge Grid. And here's just another fucking interesting part underneath that. Mercedes driver Sofel van Doren, who placed second during the race in question, stated on his Twitch stream that he suspected Abt of using another player to race in his name. Two-time Formula E champion Jean-Éric Vergne supported van Doren's accusation. Please ask Daniel Abt to put his Zoom next time he's driving, because like Stoffel, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't in. I'm just wondering, these other races, like, surely they come to know their competitors on the track from the way that they approach things and the way they drive. Would that translate one-to-one racing them online? Is that how they knew? It's interesting. It's a weird fucking story, but that's the world we live in right now. So, anyway, this has been a fucking marathon episode. I'm going to learn how to edit and cut out articles that aren't very important. But there we go. As I mentioned, I will include the newsletter in the links for this one. You should go check that out. Sign up. You can read what I think about movies and games and smart speakers, and I'm going to do one at some point where I review different types of plant-based milk in coffee. So if you want that thrilling content, don't hesitate to sign up. It's there on Substack. It's free. And I've actually been doing those more consistently than these podcast episodes. So they're almost a slightly better use of your time. And I will talk to you later.